Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
Liverpool.
Oh, God. We're starting it off like this.
Hey, you said there might be tangents when we were planning this beforehand. I figured I'd start quick with one.
All right. Look, I thought early on, much like I did against Man City, that we had a shot of winning the game. And I was wrong. But it was fun to watch and be able to kind of go back and forth a little bit. Obviously, you being a fan of Liverpool, me being a fan of West Ham, my newfound love for football. But it's been rough since I started watching, and maybe it's me. The first five or six games I've watched, I think we've won two games, so not the best. Started off hot this season and slowly cooling off.
Welcome to soccer.
Seriously. But it does.
It sounds like you guys are pretty good in the first 25 minutes.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to play us in the first 25 minutes of this game. Okay?
Yeah. Other teams shouldn't even go out there.
Yeah, seriously. No, but it's been fun. Like I know we've talked about this on the last few episodes, but like it's cool to watch. I mean, obviously our favorite sports are coming around here pretty quickly. We've got preseason going on for hockey. Basketball's got to be starting up pretty soon, but it's been fun to watch something during the off season. And I think that, you know, moving forward, they have a long season. Premier League and all that is super long. So I think it'll be fun to kind of follow that along throughout their whole season and give me something to look forward to when there isn't these couple, our couple sports going on. But yeah, that was a fun game to watch despite the outcome for me. But
Liverpool. What, Reds?
There's no way that you watched that game, though.
Yeah, I did. I caught the second half.
Because it started at 9 a.m. my time.
Yeah, it was an early one.
Oof. Damn.
Yep. I was house-sitting a house where a cat wakes up and yells at 5:15 every day. It's like a 17-year-old cat.
Yeah.
So, that day I was grateful. I got to watch a soccer game.
Yeah.
The rest, man, I'm still tired. But
I also, my one biggest thing so far about watching it is I think almost every game has been on a different, like, streaming service or different, like, platform. Have you noticed that with the games that you watch? It's like you always have to find out where it's streaming from? Or do you have a specific spot?
I always look on. I look on FotMob first, which is the greatest sporting app ever, to see where it is.
Yes,
and go from there. And that's like the easiest way to do it. But yeah, otherwise it's like where the hell do I look?
Yeah,
like the Premier League app. I don't think like tells you where necessarily you're going to get it in America.
Yeah.
So, yeah, FotMob does. So
I've had a combination of like YouTube TV and Paramount and.
Yeah, like USA. It's always USA, and then Paramount has a lot of it. I think Paramount, you can get any of it, right?
I think you get a lot of stuff on there, but you don't get to watch every. Like, it really depends. It's like whatever they happen to be streaming on, and if it isn't on Paramount, then, you got to find other means of watching it. So I've lucked out where I've had YouTube TV and Paramount, and I think there's one other that I've had to use, but either way. It's fun.
Yeah. It's good. Champions League was last week.
Yep.
I made a lot of money off of it.
Yeah, let me hear your what'd you put in for bets last week? I heard you there's rumblings. Let me just tell you. There's rumblings around the world that you hit pretty good and that you did pretty well.
I did pretty well. You know, okay. In the grand scheme of things, it's not a life-changing number. But it was a good hit. Seven leg parlay. One of those legs was a draw in a Champions League game that hit. Everyone thinks I'm a psychopath for that, but I could just feel Newcastle and AC Milan drawing 1-1, but it was 0-0. So Yeah, threw that in there. Had a couple of baseball legs by a run and a half. So, you know, it was parlaying some plus 100s, plus 150s, and then the plus 234, and turned $25 to like times 1,000?
No.
Almost, yeah.
What?
22 and some change. Wow. Some chump change. I don't even mess with the double digit numbers.
That's insane.
Yeah. And then I had another one. Ooh, excuse me. I had a seven legger yesterday in the NFL that one leg pushed thanks to the Green Bay Packers coming down from 17 to win 18-17. And I had them at minus one. So that leg pushed. So that was another $2,000 one that got cut down to like 1,200.
Did you have what was the over under on Taylor Swift being at Arrowhead? Did you have that up there or what?
I didn't. I think it would have been plus money. It definitely didn't feel like it was going to be already.
Dude, that's the only thing that has been on any social media app that I've gone on for the last 24 hours.
Sure was the only thing worth talking about of that game, but they still cut away from that game.
Yeah.
Like the other Fox broadcast went to the Dallas game. Like very early on in the third quarter, so like you couldn't even find it if you had the YouTube TV heads out there. We couldn't even find it, and I think it stopped existing. Like you couldn't watch that game.
Wow.
So
there are some stinkers for sure. I'm glad we don't cover football. There were some bad games, but
there's some really good ones though. I thought week one was really boring. I thought last week was better. And then like, yeah, some pretty shitty games this week, but some miraculous offense. Yeah. Offense is back.
Yeah.
Offense is back in a major South Beach sort of way. Hey, thank God the Patriots didn't let the Dolphins score 70 points. And again, like you said, thank God we don't cover the Patriots.
I would have forfeit the entire season. No joke.
Yeah.
I
still kind of want to.
So you mentioned tangents at the beginning of this episode because we did talk about that before. So I do
want to have some sports stuff to talk about though.
We do have some sports stuff, but I do want to ask you one other thing that is
this other stuff wasn't sports stuff. just the Bruins and the Celtics is sports stuff.
Well, before we get into that, I want to ask you one thing because you know something's hitting close to you. And I think it's important because of the business that you are in at times. What's going on with the strike? I've heard some good news. Yeah.
Got to get a break. I haven't read through it yet, I'll be honest. The news broke here late last night, and I've been it's my day off and my first time home after 10 days house sitting, so I've been chilling hard.
Nice.
I haven't read it, but the leaders are overwhelmingly happy with it. I got to think it's really good. Like the biggest, you know, upsetting part about it is just that it took so damn long to get to this point.
Right.
Pretty pathetic. Nice that we could agree with the lizards upstairs that we deserve to eat and that robots shouldn't make stuff. but yeah, I got to read in the details. I'll say next time exactly how I feel about it. It sounds like a great deal. I trust the leadership of the WGA. Now let's get that SAG contract back. Let's get Hollywood back to work, baby.
Yeah.
We're all going to have a fat amount of time without content coming up because of this. And so buckle up.
To be honest with you, that might be a good
thing.
Looking
like it was going to be a bit longer. So this is good.
Yeah. Look, I don't mean it in like it's a good thing that they're not making stuff. I mean, it like there's so much stuff out there that I want to catch up on so many things and watch so many
things. I'd be fine with like the same amount of television coming out as when I first moved here. And we kind of lose like over the last 10 years, which is just like, I think, quantity over quality.
Right.
From a lot of networks. So if after all of this, it's like less things are being made, I don't necessarily think that's a problem. I think too many things are being made.
Yeah.
So if that's a hot take or a bad take, I'm sorry.
No, I think
it's a little diluted right now.
Yeah, exactly. Without us going too far into it, I think that it's a take that needs description that isn't necessary right now, but I think that it is a good take. Like, there's
the good news is, and it's also, I think it's a realistic take, is these studios are probably going to make less things because they do cost them more now,
right,
to pay out writers. So
good.
Yeah. Let's just hope they figure out how to trust the right things being made.
Yeah. One last thing on entertainment before we get into additional sports talk here. What's the latest on EFIS? Where are we at with that? Do we have any
I've
idea?
Seen the final cut.
You've seen it, or you?
I've seen it twice. I've seen two different versions. I've seen a final cut, the picture lock cut. I actually went and did some ADR, so I get to talk more shit to my pitcher in it and some other stuff. Make some other jokes in the background. I'm pretty hyped on it, man. I'm very excited for it.
I'm so excited, man.
Get
I want to see
premieres going.
I want to just see a trailer or whatever. You know, I just want to see anything. So, do you guys have any idea on when anything is going to either be released or what the plan is for that? Or I know it's not your movie, so it's not like
we're submitted to Sundance at this point. We submitted to TIFF. We did not get into TIFF, but we got a personalized letter from the programmer about how close it was and how much they enjoyed the movie, which is, I guess, the best version of a no you can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to which I said to the director, what the hell does Canada know about baseball anyway? Screw them. We took the Expos and shit, and, you know, Toronto's basically America. No, it's not. Anyways, that's coming. I got a short film I did that's also in picture lock. I got some content coming out, dude. I'm not sure when, though.
Very
exciting.
Hopefully
some friends and family type screenings going, but in terms of widespread premieres, we're going the old festival circuit, so those will be hopefully at festivals, but, you know, it won't be on the internet anytime soon.
Yeah.
Ideally, it's a bad thing if it's on the internet very soon,
right?
I'd say so.
Either way, exciting. Hopefully you guys do have like a, you know, a teaser or a trailer, some kind of thing like that for people to see, because I know that we've talked about it a bunch in the past, and I know people are excited to kind of hear more about it and see what it's all about. So, you know, me included in that. So I can't wait.
I mean, dude, I'm biased, but I think it's really good, and I think it's pretty damn funny too. A lot of laughs in it.
Nice.
It's good, and it's a baseball movie that, you know, again, it's been a while. People are gonna like it. It's all one game. It's fun. It's about the game, but it's also not. And it's, you know, there's metaphors and stuff, but it's a great homage to baseball and some of its quirkiness and intricacies, and, you know, how sometimes games can just be kind of boring.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, EFIS is, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for it to be seen. It's just, it's a baseball movie that the pop culture zeitgeist really needs, I think.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's going to dig it a lot. And Bill Lee's amazing in it. And, you know, Keith William Richards is incredible in it. Get a little Wayne Diamond show up. So it's good.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. All right, let's get into a little bit of our teams here before we go too far off the rails with everything else. But Bruins season preseason has started. Training camp is over. A couple guys looking pretty good. A couple guys looking all right. One game. We're only one game in so far. So there's a long way to go before, you know, I shouldn't say a long way to go, but there's a lot of preseason left. So a couple guys should either step it up or not, and it'll be pretty obvious who will make the team and who won't. But and then, like I said, I don't know the exact date of when the preseason or camp and stuff starts for the Celtics, but I got to imagine that that's going to be pretty soon because the seasons run pretty parallel to one another, give or take a few weeks. But I don't know if you know when preseason really starts, but like I said, it's got to be soon.
Yeah, it's coming. I think this year it's after the NHL. Well, it's also less. You know, I think the Celtics play three or four games. Bruins got six.
Yep.
But yeah, first preseason game. Actually, coming up pretty quickly here, October 8th.
Okay. So,
sneaking up on us here, but a little under, what's that? It's like literally 14 days from now. So pretty hyped for that to start. Got pictures of Porzingis at the facility today. We'll see, man. I don't know. I'm nervous. Lamar Stevens signing. Very, very hyped. You know, solid role player off the bench. Not expecting anything groundbreaking, but a solid contributor and some toughness that this team may have traded away. Yeah, I don't know. Marcus Smart's wedding. Everyone seemed happy. Just kind of was sad for me personally. But,
yeah, so I mentioned before this podcast to you off air that I wanted to bring up something to you. And I do want to get your thoughts that, like, I'm going to say this, but it's already happened. Marcus Smart is officially a Memphis Grizzly. Like, what I mean is that, you know, they did the introduction. They gave him the jersey. You saw the photo of him holding the jersey and all that. Like, how did that make you feel? Obviously, I know you're a big Marcus Smart guy. You didn't want him gone in the first place, but, like, It felt official when I saw it, you know, like not that I thought he was going to come back. I'm not delusional, but it's like it just felt like, wow, this really happened. And it's, you know, it's kind of crazy. He was one of the core players, you know, of this team. He absolutely one of the three guys that everybody thought of when they thought of the Celtics. Like, of course, you have other players like Horford and whatnot, too, that people think of. But nobody thought of other players if you weren't a real basketball person other than Smart, Brown, and Tatum. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, it really happened, you know, and it just feels weird. And I think it'll feel weird for a bit, especially when we do play against them and all that. But what were your thoughts on that whole situation?
I'm going to, you know, I've been making the jokes like I'm going to riot if Porzingis can't play. And like, I kind of will.
Yeah, no,
I hate it. I do hate it. I know there's a lot of Marcus Smart haters within Celtics fans. I think he's a very polarizing player. I think a lot of people who even like him just felt like he wasn't it. I tend to disagree. I think can we win without him? I think so, but I would I have rather won with him? Yes. And do I think I don't know. I don't know what to make of this team until I see it, and I don't know who's playing on it and how much they're playing on it this year. That goes beyond trading away Marcus and getting Porzingis, as it does with the health of, we have a 37-year-old Al Horford and two-tenths of a meniscus in his right knee, Robert Williams. I don't know what to make of it. You on one hand, you want to celebrate the exit of Grant Williams, but on the other hand, Marcus is gone. My big thing is this. Like, I don't like the move. I'm over it now, though. I'm excited about Porzingis. I'm excited. Like, you got to move on. This stuff happens, and, like, I'm going to get over it. I'm going to be hypercritical if Porzingis can't play, but, like, you got to get over it. So I've moved on, but I'm still a huge fan of the guy. And really, I just think Grizzlies need some crazy good leadership in there. And like, they're kind of last year's locker room, which this year's is going to be a bit different. But like, you know, we got the Ja Morant stuff. Dylan Brooks obviously exiting now. But, you know, young guys, very talented guys without, you know, veteran leadership. I like their head coach a lot. He's been with them a long time. I think Marcus is in a great environment, and I think he's going to be happy there. So that makes me happy for him. But it's weird. It's weird how I think he looks good in a Grizzlies uniform. I do. You know, it's weird how I feel that way.
Yeah.
I'd rather he wasn't in it. I hate that he's in it, but like, it's fitting for him, and I wish him the best. And, you know, he's going to get a lot of opportunity to play at the beginning of the season without Ja Morant there. But it'll be very interesting to see how they play alongside each other. Because I gotta imagine Marcus Smart. I don't think he's coming off the bench, but he's probably moving to the two guard at that point. Or I don't know.
Another thing I will say about this situation too is, like, much like the Bruins situation, and I'm not saying that the Bruins are going to win the cup by any means, but like if they won the cup this year, if the Celtics win the championship this year, it just is so weird that like some of these guys who put so much in weren't there for that. Like Marcus Smart wouldn't be there for that, and like Patrice Bergeron wouldn't be there. And it's like when you get so close, like we thought was going to happen last year or 2019, and of course Bergeron won in 2011, but like when you get so close and you don't ultimately get that goal, and then you do it without the guys that should be in that room, it would feel weird, and it probably will, because the Celtics are, I mean, let's be honest, they're bound to win one eventually. With this group that they have, if they don't, Tatum and Brown and then whoever else complements them as well, I find that hard to believe that they're not going to win one at some point. Will it be this year? Don't know. Are they the favorites? No. But like I think that it would be crazy if they don't. I would be very bummed out and surprised. But it just, I don't know. I think it was you that had said to me at one point, maybe it was someone else, I don't know, but Marcus Smart was, after Bergeron, the longest tenured Boston athlete. Is that true? I mean, maybe Marchand. No. Who else?
Marchand. But then probably him, yeah.
Yeah, because all the other guys are gone. It's like Mookie is gone and Chara is gone, and it probably is Marchand at this point, but it's just, you know, it's so weird when some of these guys leave and they kind of, it feels like an era has ended. Like we still have Tatum and Brown. That's obviously an era that's been going on, but it's just like when the big name people go who have been here so long and put in so much work into the community and the teams and building what the team currently is, it just feels so strange. Like when Chara first left, that was such a weird experience for us. Not that he was here his whole career, but it was like close enough, right?
For me it's like this.
Brady, like that's another one.
Yeah, but like this direct scenario would be like, hypothetically, let's say the Celtics win without Marcus Smart. Like, you know, 18, 19, just 18, whatever. They win a title, at least. To me, Marcus is then going to feel like Nomar Garciaparra. Like, yeah. He was so instrumental in so much and like in us like getting on track and getting that close. I mean, for Nomar, it wasn't getting that close to, you know, winning the World Series as much as it was being a relevant team that can make the playoffs. And then like to do it without him, and just like, it feels like, you know, there was a lot of legwork put in, but obviously they wouldn't get a ring.
Yeah.
Be interesting. I just think he was Celtics basketball in a massive way. Hustle, and down to being the guy who dyed his hair green, you know, like, right. That's just, it's crazy commitment for a professional athlete in 2023. It's just like heart and love, and I don't know, I think it's hard to trade that guy away. If you don't think he should be the starting point guard of the Boston Celtics, like that's another thing, but like that's still a guy you want in the locker room somehow, I think. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like you just don't want to see, I don't know. It just felt like it was possible for him, a player like him, to be here his entire career and never go anywhere. I don't know. It's just weird. Just strange. I mean, but it was, I don't know. I've been saying this from the beginning, too, that I felt like it was almost a necessary shakeup. And it was like if it's not working, something has to change. And I guess, unfortunately, it came at the price of trading him away, which may not have been the best decision. We'll see, but I don't know. It's gonna be an interesting year.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting year. There's a huge part of me that feels like with a different coaching staff, and I don't necessarily mean Missoula, but a put together coaching staff last year, we win and it's a different story. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, right? Like, if we win, like
people were leaving all year. We lost Will Hardy. We lost our head coach in training camp, and Stoudemire left in March. Just like really, like a lack of a bench. and a lack of guys who, like, no one, it doesn't feel like everyone was super familiar with people being in the roles that they were in. And so, yeah, I don't know. I would have loved to run it back and see what we could do with the put together, like with Missoula's coaching staff. Like, I like the guys he's hired.
Yeah.
And that Brad's helped bring in and everything like that. So I would have preferred to see that team. But, you know, if this team stays healthy, it's a better team. It is.
Yeah.
Like, we have a stronger roster, especially versus the current NBA, to what our team had versus last year's NBA. Like, I you know, if we can stay healthy, I think on paper, that's a really, really hard team to beat. So, no, it's not the direction I thought we were going. I wasn't ready for this.
Yeah.
And the Brogdon rumors I'm confused by. I don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
And so I'm ignoring it. But like, I don't think Ramona Shelburne like really talks out of her ass, but maybe she does. I don't know. But like, that's just like, I'm like, to me, it's like, what's the benefit of her making this rumor up or running with it?
Yeah.
Like, the NBA is like bored, but they're not that bored. And like, I really value the NBA today, which I watch it every day during the season. I like her when she's on it, and I value her reporting. I do. I know she's got some biases and stuff, but like, it's mostly like Lakers stuff, which I guess, like, yeah, rivals, whatever. But I just don't see why she would stir the pot with Malcolm Brogdon in Boston. I don't know. But I've heard he's refuted the rumors, but I don't know if those sources are accurate. So I'm ignoring it. It's not an issue right now. I don't know. But they're upset with how his injury was handled. Like, that's the rumor. So I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I just, it's hard to know what is real and not anymore. So until it's like an official statement or something like that, then it's, you know, it's really a nothing thing. And there's a lot of clickbait out there. So I don't know. We'll see.
I'm with that. Yeah.
So I don't want to get too far into the Bruins stuff because it's so early on in the preseason, and we're going to have plenty more to talk about on next week's episode here, because we will have played a handful of games by then, or at least two or three more. But I do want to shout out one thing that happened in the preseason, which I don't know if you happen to watch any of that game or if you caught any of the highlights, because there's one specific highlight that I want to shout out here. That got the TD Garden to give a standing ovation in a preseason game.
Okay.
Brandon Bussey made what they are already saying is the save of the year.
Oh, I saw something of this. I haven't seen the save.
Of course, it's probably not going to be the save of the year because it's a preseason save and whatever, but it was unbelievable. Like, my jaw dropped watching it happen. I was like, there's absolutely no way that he saved that. They showed the replay of it. The place went absolutely crazy. What a save. And it's starting to feel like, you know, I'm not saying we have a goalie problem, because we don't. That's just not, I'm not going to stir that pot, but like, it's a good problem to have if we have a really solid goalie in Providence, you know? So if this kid is the real deal and he's what people think he's going to be, then I'm getting ahead of myself here, but don't be surprised if you see Omar traded at the deadline with 1 year left on his deal, having to pay Swayman more money next year, give him an actual long-term contract, depending on how things shake out this season. I don't think that is out of the realm of possibility. If he's playing at a Vezina level again, maybe you sell high. But we'll see. I just think that we have a good problem right now, where we have a very solid goaltender down in Providence who has the potential to be a starting or a backup goaltender in the NHL.
Yeah.
But I highly suggest, if anybody hasn't seen that, if you're even just a hockey fan, to check it out, because it was such a cool save. Like, I mean, we've seen saves like this before, but it's just, for a guy to be putting in that kind of effort in the preseason, it just goes to show you that, like, he doesn't care that there's two solid, like, there are two goaltenders locked in. There's no question about who's our starting two to begin the season. But this kid is playing as hard as he possibly can, making these saves and doing this stuff. He had a shutout in preseason to show that, like, if anybody's going to get the call up, it's going to be me. If there's an injury or if there's whatever. And I feel like that is the absolute best possible attitude to have as a player and as a younger guy, too. Like, he could just go out there and kind of phone it in because he's like, well, I know I'm going to Providence and I know that this is going to happen. But, you know, maybe some other NHL team now reaches out and goes, hey, we want this kid. And he gets an opportunity to be a starter somewhere, you know? Like, I just love the effort. I think that it's awesome. I think I will, you know, I want to see more stuff like that from some of these younger guys because that's exactly how you stand out.
Definitely. I want to see a world where, like, you know, I love Ullmark, but with us being the team that we are going to be, I just, it's a lot of money a year for that guy. And I'm not saying he's not worth it, but I just think you can get solid goaltenders who can win for less. I don't know. Maybe that's a hot take, but this kid looks great.
Yeah. And the fans seem to love him. I know, obviously, that he played well in that game and he made a cool save and stuff, but it seems like even in Providence, they like him. So good for him. I'm happy to see it. Like, it's always awesome. Good to know that our prospects are good. You know, he could be terrible and be like, well, it doesn't really matter because he's going to Providence, but he could be a guy that comes up. You never know. Injuries happen. Trades happen. You just never know.
Yeah.
But a couple other good, you know, good players out there. And a couple other ones that, you know, Lysell was playing in the first game and he did not look so good. You know, he looked okay. I'm not going to say that he was terrible, but for being the guy that everyone is constantly talking about, I kind of expected a little bit better. He had a lot of turnovers and, you know, didn't play as well, but nobody's on every game, you know, so he may have had an off game. The lights could have been very bright for him playing in at the Garden. I don't know, but we'll see. There's still plenty of preseason left, and I'm sure he'll get a lot more shifts out there in different games. And we got Buffalo tomorrow, and looking forward to seeing Lucic back in a Bruins jersey, actually on the ice.
That Jake DeBrusk kid looked good.
Jake DeBrusk, I don't really know much about him. I don't know if he's going to make the team or anything, but like he probably could make the fourth line.
Feels like a guy who might ask for a trade.
Honestly, he looks like he's ready to go. If he continues playing the way that he played last year, there's no doubt in my mind that he can score 30, 35 goals. I know that that might be a hot take to some people, but that kid has the skill. And now that he's in a position where he wants to be here, he wants to play, he's playing with good players, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And I know that he's one of those guys who's like, all right, there's no Bergeron, there's no Krejci. I know I have to step up my game to help the team. Now that he's in the position that he wants to be in, he's happy. I think that he could really be a big help to this team this year. And he played great last year, so I think we're in a good situation there.
Let's go. I'm here for it. I like Jakey D. I never faulted him for wanting to trade. It wasn't working. It's working, though.
Yep.
Everyone's happy. We can all kiss and make up.
That's how you get COVID. It's coming back around.
Shut up, dude. We're about to drive all across California. We need to summon that.
We got we're about 3 weeks away from a big Balcony Chatter trip. Get together, recording, games. Looking forward to it. So I'm so ready for it.
I'm ready too.
It's gonna be a good time.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Happy preseason, dude. Glad you were back at the Garden last night.
Yep.
Congrats.
I'll be there on Friday.
Congratulations to Marcus Smart. I'm getting married. I'm getting married.
Right.
I'm getting married and getting a shout out from Jaylen Brown on social media, which everyone, I think, but either of them felt needed to happen.
Yeah.
But it was touching. It made me actually kind of sad. Felt like another layer of official. That felt more official. Jaylen Brown finally posting about Marcus on social media felt more official than you seeing him in a Memphis jersey.
True.
I should have crashed the wedding. It was not far away.
Ooh.
I'll think about that every day for the rest of my life.
That would have been an all-timer.
But yeah, I only knew about it after it happened. So that's always, it's always hard to crash a wedding when that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I got to know these guys' lives more.
No, you don't. I'm going to make a call if you start going too crazy. I got to make a call.
Dude,
I love you, but I can't let you do this to yourself and to them.
There's some great bushes, like vantage point bushes.
Okay, all right.
Kevin Garnett's beach house in Malibu.
Yeah. Happy preseason, everyone. We will we will be back next week talking more preseason, talking more Celtics Bruins, and looking forward to all of the stuff coming up. So thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week. Tim, I promise, we will not be stalking any Celtics players. I'll make sure of that. So I'm going to throw it to our...
Come after me, I'm going to run.
Jesus Christ.
Car chases are fun to watch, dude.
Stretch.